In this Thursday morning session of the jurisdictional conference, we talked about and affirmed some of the wonderful work that's been done in bringing together the Dakota and Minnesota conferences into one Episcopal area. We saw some images of what a video system will be like to help link people across the miles. That's an enabling tool for something much larger. Can you talk a little bit about what's behind all of that?
In the Dakotas, we began using this video conferencing system in about 2005, and we have documented that we really have saved a great deal of time and money in the work of our committees because we were able to be at distant sites. We originally had 3 sites in North Dakota and 3 sites in South Dakota, and now we are expanding that and including a site in Minnesota as we are becoming one Episcopal area.
Okay, now the 2008 General Conference began the momentum that's led to now this becoming one Episcopal area. And then in 2010, your work began in earnest?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in 2010, we began a transition team to look at how we would begin to put these 2 annual conferences together into one area. So we had to look at things like, it's a huge geographical area, 224,000 square miles. So what would that look like with a bishop sharing and traveling across that area, as well as just logistical things like how do you schedule cabinet meetings and how do you share staff and resources? Is that possible or not possible? And using some of the technology that Janelle talked about to help us maximize our work together, as well as just coming up with a name for the area and where to house the bishop in the area, and choosing Minneapolis because of the St. Paul Minneapolis airport, essentially. You can't fly from one place in the Dakotas to the other place in the Dakotas without coming through Minneapolis, so to be in Minneapolis makes the most sense.
So geography is certainly one issue. Are there other cultures, other aspects of life that need to be negotiated?
I think one of the important things is just the background of the people of this area and such a can-do kind of a spirit and attitude that, you know, we'll work out a way to make things happen. You know, it is a big factor of distances. When I would travel to a meeting at the conference office, I would travel 5 hours plus a time change. So that seems amazing when I talk to people in other conferences.
I do think also that we will need a bishop who understands diverse cultures. We may think it's all prairies and plains, but in reality, Minneapolis-St. Paul has several corporate headquarters, so you have to be able to deal with executives. You have to know how to connect to farmers. You have to connect to Iron Rangers and West River folks, and you have to connect to parks and recreation people who are in the northern part of the state. So this is not a monolith of 2-3 states. There's very much micro cultures within that, and a bishop who knows how to speak to a variety of people in a variety of ways is going to be very important to connect to the broad sense of who we are as the Minnesota Dakotas.
Now, what has the transition work been like over these last year and a half to almost 2 years?
Several of the meetings that we held were using the video conferencing setup so that we could be in several different locations. One site was set up in the conference office in Minnesota so that group could be gathered there, and there's a wide enough screen that the whole group can be viewed as we are having our discussions. We also have the technological capability of having PowerPoints or graphs and information that can be shared and then be able to reflect upon that in our discussions.
We spent, you know, the first meeting was really just learning each other. Even though we share a border and we float across that border quite often, to learn about each of the unique conferences and their journeys and their stories and who they were and what were the things that they've been working on in terms of, like, in the Dakotas, they'd done some major structuring. We had some major initiatives going on. So understanding that about each other so we could figure out, well, where are the things that we could share? we need to be clear, we're not merging because the Dakotas had just recently gone through a merger and they didn't want to have people kind of thinking we're going back to where we were before. And so being very careful about how we talked about it, how we made the choices we made, so we could understand those things. It was important just to meet each other, learn each other, hear that context before we can make any decisions moving forward. So that first meeting, I think, was very critical to build that relationship.
And how did that relationship building go over the time?
I think it's gone well. I think we really are, as you know, a can-do attitude. I think we appreciate each other. We had fun together. We would laugh together. We ate chocolate together, so that always helped. And then, you know, then we could use the video conferencing. We had established a relationship, and we could connect in that means because we already knew some of who each other were. And I think, you know, the upper Midwestern spirit is a culture that overrides all those microcultures of who we are, and we are people who get things done and make things happen.
I think another key thing to consider is how the growth pattern is in this area. Along our interstate corridors, we definitely are seeing the economic growth. And then for our churches to see that there are places where there are really vital congregations there. The Dakotas experienced a 4% growth in attendance over a year time. And so those are some of the kinds of factors that are just a part of that vitality of where we can really be the church among the people in the Dakotas.
Were there any surprises that were unanticipated in the course of these conversations?
I don't know if it was a surprise, but I think we understood that given two annual conferences and the geography and then the bishop's schedule as they travel nationally, internationally, that the schedule would be a challenge. And when Greg Kroger, who is the director of the bishop's assistant for connectional ministries in the Dakotas, and I sat down and we tried to lay out a schedule for September through December, it really hit us how different we're going to have to work, because this bishop really can't physically be present in the ways that people originally talked about. They talked about, well, we'll itinerate him here and itinerate her here and we'll do that. And then we looked at the schedule and go, that's not possible, and just trying to schedule cabinet meetings and those kinds of things. So I think learning how to work differently is going to be really important as we go forward.
And I think it'll be really important that we have a lot of flexibility, that we really are ready to roll with the punches as we need to work out some of the details of this. We laughingly call it a two-point charge, and I think it's a pretty complex two-point charge.
Now, there are two distinct annual conferences, Dakotas and Minnesota. Will there be a sort of a overarching committee that will help some of what you've described as the common work of the bishop or other concerns that are two conference concerns?
I think most of that will be handled primarily by the staff. The transition committee really is not going to continue. And so I think the staff positions are really going to help with that. Those people that work most closely with the bishop's calendar will be a key part, and then the various staff positions as they work out details.
We'll have one administrative assistant for the bishop who will reside in the bishop's office, paid for by the Episcopal Fund, who will manage the calendar for the bishop over the whole area. And then Greg Kroger and I have already developed a pretty strong working relationship that we'll email each other back and forth. And in fact, our cabinet was doing some coach training, invited their cabinet to share in the coach training with us. So another way to build some relationships. And we have some creative ideas. We don't know, until you get the new bishop yet, we don't know how we'll go, but we're imagining things like, well, could we do our appointment retreats where one cabinet's in one room, one cabinet's in another room on the same week, and the bishop just goes back and forth and things like that. So I think it will be through the staff and through talking to each other and then working through the bishop and the bishop's assistant to schedule that will happen.
Now, the last question, and probably the easiest one for you to answer, this new area will be called
Dakotas, Minnesota Episcopal Area.